This is Dave Glowatz. On the phone with me is the Chicago Reader's Ben Jurofsky. How are you doing today, Ben?
I'm doing great.
That's good to hear. Today we're talking about your article titled, He Doesn't Have to Outrun the Bear, that appears in the Chicago Reader on April 29th, 2010. This article talks about how election law will determine whether independent candidate Forrest Claypool can appear on the November ballot in the general election for Cook County Assessor, challenging the heavily favored Democrat Joe Berrios. First, let's talk about this whole signature thing. I think it may be a little confusing to readers of the article and perhaps our listeners. First of all, Forrest Claypool, as an independent, needs, as you reported, 25,000 signatures on his nominating petition that would get him included on the November general election ballot. Meanwhile, the Democratic candidate, Berrios, needed just over 8,000 signatures to get on last February's primary election ballot. Why does Claypool need more signatures?
Real reason or stated reason?
How about we have both?
Let's start with the stated reason. The stated reason, if you ask election officials, is that we want to protect the system from chaos, the voting system, the electoral system from chaos. Since Forrest Claypool does not represent, at this moment for this race, a bona fide, viable party, the threshold of eligibility to make the ballot should be higher. Otherwise, thousands of independents would be coming out of the woodwork at any given time to be on the ballot. So if we don't have higher standards for third-party independent candidates, then the ballot would be overrun with all sorts of people. The real reason, of course, is to protect incumbents, make it more difficult for people to challenge incumbents. Now, having said that, I think there is actually some merit at the risk of being totally cynical or totally naive. There is some merit, if we have a primary system, of making it more difficult for independents to jump into the pool after the primaries. So I could see the argument for that.
And let's clarify even further. If Claypool had run as an independent in the primary, which he didn't do, would he have still needed 25,000 signatures?
Yes, if he was creating a new party. But had Claypool decided to run, let's say, as a Green Party candidate, which I would have really found interesting, he would have needed far fewer signatures because the Greens are a viable party. But Claypool didn't want to do that. Claypool sat out the primary, even though people were urging him to run, on the grounds that he wanted to launch a career. He was going to set up some company that was going to be involved in healthcare somehow or other. Not quite sure what he was going to do. And it was only after Berrios won the Democratic primary that Claypool said he felt compelled to run because Berrios was such a bad candidate. And so he was going to run as an independent, hence the higher threshold. But well, had he run as a Green, he'd had far fewer than 8,000 even. I forget how many signatures the Green Party candidate.
Because that number is based on the percentage of those voters, of Green voters who voted in a previous primary. So if there are fewer voters, then the signature requirement is fewer. Let me take you back to what you said. Could you elaborate on what you were talking about with respect to making it more challenging for people to jump in after the primary?
The issue is this, is that we have a primary system in Illinois, and for most of these statewide offices and countywide offices. We don't have one for mayor. But anyway, for county assessor, which is what I'm writing about, we have a primary system, and it's established by state law. And a primary system means that candidates run within a party affiliation, okay? So to win office, there's two elections. One, you run in the primary to be the candidate of your party. And then two, you run in the general election to beat the other candidates of the other parties. So when Claypool runs as an independent, he's effectively joining the race without having run the preliminary. And in that sense, he has an advantage that, for instance, Robert Shaw did not have, and Shaw was defeated by Berrios in the Democratic primary for county assessor. So Claypool is trying to avoid an election that the law says he must win in order to be a candidate, and so therefore there should be a higher threshold for him to make the ballot.
Would you make that threshold, say, the signature requirements?
Well, this is our system. Our system is the signature requirement. You could make it a monetary one. And you could say, it costs you $1 million. I'm sure that would be contested constitutionally. But, you know, different states have different rules and regulations, and some states actually have a monetary filing amount that you have to put up. But in this state, it would be the signature requirement. So now that I think about it, I understand the logic, and I actually sort of support it to make it harder for people to get into the race after the primary. However, what really irks me and irritates me, and what I'm writing about, is the way in which the law can be used, the rules and regulations governing this process can be used by the well-connected to sort of stifle the ability of people to run.
Let's leave that aside for a moment and talk about Forrest Claypool himself. He's characterized by many as a reformer, but here's a guy who originally came from the Daley administration on the mayoral staff, was handpicked by Daley to head the Chicago Park District, where he cut many positions. He was also characterized as a reformer when he sat on the Cook County Board of Commissioners, where he served most recently. What do you think about people supporting him as a so-called independent? This is a guy who has said to me that he doesn't have a lot of faith in government to behave competently.
Well, as I've told you many times before, I think Claypool represents sort of the liberal wing of Mayor Daley's party, which means he's not truly an independent at all, and there's a limit to the amount of government that he has ever sought to reform. Generally, the liberal members of Daley's organization look the other way at all the transgressions of Mayor Daley in the city and focus their concentration, energies, and attention on the minor figures in, well, usually in Cook County politics, and that has been Todd Strojer. Claypool makes his name bashing Strojer, who is a very easy target to bash, while not paying any attention to what I consider the main problem in our local government, and that is how the mayor operates.
And do you think that he does that deliberately? In other words, does he do it knowing that he's distracting the populace from the real sort of purveyors of malfeasance, or does he actually believe he's making a difference?
I have no idea what's going on in his mind, but I can tell you that from having talked to many members of the Daley wing, the liberal wing of the Daley party, they think that they're making incremental changes by avoiding fights they cannot win. In other words, fights with Mayor Daley. So if by reforming Cook County government, that's sort of a small step toward reforming the whole local government. I don't buy that line, and I'm not tremendously sympathetic to them, and I'm not a big fan of the liberal members of the Daley organization, but that's their logic.
All right, we'll leave it there. Ben Jurofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Take care, Dave.
This is Dave Gloetz. You've been listening to the rest of the story. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for more interviews with Ben or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.